from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. Yeah.
Inside the 9 o'clock hour, we're rolling. Another 5-hour KM to AM on the fan here. Let's get back into it. 888-808-1019. If you're calling now, I do have to let you know I have a guest coming up. So you're probably going to be on hold. There's 6 people on hold. Zach Rosenblatt is my guy. I've had him on the fan like 5 or 6 times. And he covers the Jets. And, man, the practice that they had down there in Carolina, I think we should be talking about. I think there are plenty of players that he can give us some insight on as we get closer to the NFL season. He'll be on in about 10 minutes. Let's see how many calls we can take until then. Also, I went and got the name from Twitter. The other person that threw out the first pitch at Citi Field today, Zach Diossi, former Giants long snapper, Super Bowl winner. I mean, it's just sometimes you just get outdone by Hawk Tua girl. It is what it is. Tony is in the Bronx. What's up, Tony? You're on the fan.
Hi, how you doing? First time caller, and I'm a big fan. I always listen to you when I'm coming home from work, so always. I've always wanted to call, but I never got through, but I got through today. I just wanted to talk. I'm a Met fan. I am in the Bronx. But today, that was Hawk Tua girl throwing out the first pitch, I just think that's just a complete joke. You know, I don't think the franchise is taking it serious when you got people like that. You're just throwing out the first pitch, you know? I just think it's a joke, and it's coming from a Met fan.
You know, I don't want to call it tone deaf because it's not that serious. You know, it's, you know, at the end of, but it's just like, for your fan base, like, you gotta know that, like, you're taking this girl and what she's famous for. Nobody asked for this. You're bringing her into your ballpark, and you're bestowing the honor on her to throw the first pitch. They gotta go out there and win that game after that, because you gotta know what's coming. Like, the internet is unforgiving. Like, you gotta be smarter than that.
Definitely.
And Tony, the promotions team's gotta talk to the tickets team. It can't be on New York kids camp day where there's a bunch of kids pulling up, because there's a lot of people connecting those dots, and they're saying, nah, that ain't right.
And that's exactly my point, because I, like, me being in the Bronx and being a Met fan, you know, I hear it all. You know, it's nothing new, but, you know, at least if you're running the franchise or the promotions team, or if they're running it, like, you got to think, like, really, like, you really need this type of distraction or this type of, you know, like,
nobody asked for it. And in a time like this, you don't need it. You needed that game today. You were up 5-0. And now the storyline is going to be like, they chose to bring in this random girl to throw out the first pitch, and they got what they deserve.
No, yeah, exactly. I 100% agree. I'm telling you. But I just want to say, keep doing the good work that you're doing, and you're amazing. And I'm always going to keep listening.
Tony, you're the man. I appreciate you making your first call. I'm coming up on 3 years. 3 years and 10 days since my audition. And I thought I was trash on my audition. I remember hitting up Spike, like, yo, can I get a redo? I need a mulligan. Like, that just wasn't, I know I could do better. I was too in my head about it. I thought I was gonna be one and done. Spike kind of dubbed me, ignored me, like, don't even worry about it, bro. Like, don't, like, we'll get back to you. Then a couple weeks go by, months go by, they get back to me, and they're like, yeah, we're gonna hire you full time. You're gonna be the new nighttime host. I'm like, who, me? You sure about that? Yo, Jarvis, up in Harlem, back on the fan.
What's up? How you doing, Keith?
Good, man. We're about to talk about your Jets in a couple minutes.
Yeah, I was want to talk about the Mets. I mean, losing 2 out of 3 to the lowly Oakland. You know, after that, coming out with a 10-game road trip where they finished 4-6, you know, took care of business against the Rockies 2 out of 3 and beat the St. Louis Cardinals. And then losing 2 out of 3 to the Angels, they get swept out of Seattle, and then you come home losing 2 out of 3 to the Athletics, the lowly A's. And then, you know, now I'm listening to Tommy Lugow, Mr. Positive Mets fan, telling all the Mets fans need to be calmed down and, you know, relax. We two games behind the Braves and, you know, things like that.
Maybe he's proven right, man. Positive energy. He turned from negative Tommy to positive Tommy. I just thought that's risky business, bro, because you can't control what goes on that field. Like, this could come back and be an all-time stain on you. And that's what we watch. We can't wait to see what happens the rest of this baseball season.
Yeah, man. I mean, then you got to play against the Marlins, and you got the Orioles come to that, which ain't going to be easy. And then they got that, like, another tank in Rocha. They got four in San Diego. That's going
to
be tough.
That's what I'm saying. I was trying to reserve, you know, I was trying to hold back for a while, right? They humbled the Yankees. Oh, my God, the Grimets. And all this other stuff, and all the Mets, this is going to be a postseason team, trade deadline, look at this haul, look at what David Stearns went and got us, a starter, bullpen arms, Jesse Winker, I'm playing the background, I'm being a nice guy, I was waiting for something like this to happen, and now we see, they have to sweep the Marlins, Jarvis, and there's no way they're sweeping the Baltimore Orioles, the Baltimore Orioles don't really get swept that much. And then they got to go on the road and try to walk down the teams that are right now in the number two and one Phillies. Spot in the wild card in their building. Tough. It seems near impossible.
Boy. Yeah, if they don't make the playoffs, I mean, people might say it's disappointing. You can't say like oh well, things happen. We'll go back next year. It's like Memphis don't want to hear that, man. You know.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Jarvis. I mean, but there are a pocket of Mets fans that said, "I never believed in this team. They didn't get me." There's a pocket of Mets fans like Joe B. Joe B. has been consistent about it. He said, if they make the postseason, cool. If they don't make the postseason, cool. Wasn't expecting anything this year. Still not expecting anything. This was supposed to be an evaluation year. This is the first year of David Stearns under Steve. You guys know what the whole themes and whatnot were. But for me as a New York radio host talking about both teams every night, for me, rooting for the Yankees and seeing the type of energy that Yankee fans had to take on, the trolling, the making fun, literally not just on air, not just online, I'm in the ballpark. Mets fans talking big trash to Yankee fans in our place. I was disgusted. I said that game, that fourth game that was 12-3 where the Mets poured it on in the eighth inning and we got out of Dodge, I'm like, that feeling was worse than watching the Astros come there and beat us in game three of the ALCS. Game four, you knew we were getting swept. That feeling of the city absolutely turning, but you know what I got on the air and I said? Reminder, the New York Yankees don't look at the Subway Series like it's anything. They'll roll out Jamai Jones and JD Davis and then in a week, less than a week, DFA them. So what does that tell you about how much they want to step right up and beat the Mets? They do not care. Smokey in Manhattan on the Fan. Woo, Smokey.
Yeah, man, believe that I got to be. Hey, I'm first time caller. I gotta talk to y'all about the era and Judge. Yeah, for this era, Judge is stepping up to the plate, but she hasn't done it that back to back or in the postseason. So we can't say he's the best player, that people have on the team. I can understand young guys saying he's the best player that y'all seen. I'm 78. Best player that. Since Babe Ruth was Willie Mays.
Facts.
It started to 5-2 because of Willie Mays.
I'll give you that. I was nowhere near the years of the Say Hey Kid.
You're young. I understand that. I'm not trying to put anybody compared to me because they ain't been but one up, and Judge is stepping up to that. The other one was Ken Griffey Jr.
Did Ken Griffey Jr. win? Thanks for the call, Smokey. We know, right? But when we're talking about an individual player, one man, we're not talking about the whole team. We're not talking like you need a team to get to the World Series. And yes, there are a ton of people that love to tell me that Judge has a career 211 postseason average. And I've seen with my own eyes, Judge get to the postseason, strike out, pop up, not come through. Maybe that changes this year with Juan Soto. Maybe that changes in the next few years with Juan Soto on the team. Moose is in Jamaica. Moose, talk to me. You're on the Fan.
You're Keith.
You're.
Evening. I'll be quick. Your guest is coming up. Yo, Judge is so good. It's absurd. Like, real quick, the pitch he hit on that 3-0 count when the pitcher's not even trying to give it to him, his 300th home run,
stupid.
4 inches off the plate, tailing it.
Ridiculous.
Like, he just tattoos it. Just tattoos it. But here's the thing I want to get to, right? I'm watching him in the middle of the 2022 season. Like, if we don't sign this dude, the only player that can replace his production is Shohei Ohtani in terms of availability, a great player on a team that's not that good. And I was, like, praying all the 22 offseason, let's sign Judge. And I know that contract might not age well, but I have perfect confidence that he's going to perform towards the end of it. Look at Stanton. He's still hitting bombs, and he's kind of worth at least $20, $25 million, if not full $30, $35.
Right, that money is different now. Yeah, thanks for the call, Moose. That money is different now. Like, I remember, you know, in 2018, when Stanton came here, people just couldn't stop talking about his contract. And now when you look at the money in baseball, that contract is nothing. If he can come out of this season and have 30 home runs and you know, let's also factor him in the postseason. I look at this year with the Yankees and I'm like, why can't this be the year that they are the number one seed, they have home field advantage, and it does all come together. And then we can stop the conversation around Judge. Earlier this year, I started calling him the silencer. I think it was against the Dodgers when he hit that home run and he looked towards the dugout and looked towards the fans and he gave the kind of like pipe down, like took his hand and like pushed it down, like everybody be quiet. The guy silences all critics. He silences all doubters. And now what's left is for him to go on a tear through October and silence all of the people that say he can't be the best player because he hasn't done it in October. He's going to go to October a bunch of more times before he retires. Let's go to Jason in Tenafly. Jason, you all right? You at the airport over there?
No. Hey, how are you? Great show. I enjoy the debate on the best player. I'm maybe a little bit older than you. I'm 44. I still think the best three players I've ever seen, but in this order, Bonds, A-Rod, and Griffey. And the reasons being the longevity that they did it, and also the fact that maybe not so much with A-Rod, but with Bonds and Griffey, they weren't only the best offensive players at their positions, but they were the best defensive players at their positions mm-hmm. for a period of time. And I get the PED thing with A-Rod and with Bonds, but I never saw three guys since then that I think compared to them. Judge is getting there, and I'm a Met fan, but I think he, from a longevity perspective, Keith, he's got to do it a few more years. And then I wanted to get one other question. You think Daniel Jones is going to come through this year? What's your thought on that?
Yeah, I got you. Thanks for the call, Jason. Jason and Edison, please hold. My guest is coming up in 1 second. I'll answer Jason from Tenafly's question. I do think Daniel Jones is going to come through this year if he's healthy. He's going to play in this preseason game. He almost has to because it's just him and Tommy DeVito. He's got to have the weapons around him come through and the offensive line block for him. What I keep saying about Daniel Jones is he's had a challenge thrown in front of him every step of the way, and he finds a way to answer the bell. And now he's come back from this ACL injury. We'll see how the knee looks this weekend. And I think now his third year in Daboll system, there's some continuity, right? It's the same guys. It's the same system. And now you actually have the weapons with Neighbors, with Hyatt, with Robinson, with Slayton, even McKenzie. You don't have Saquon, but so what? It's time for the quarterback to quarterback. In this NFL, the teams that get there, get to the finish line, it's the quarterbacks throwing touchdowns, pushing them down the field, making plays happen. And we'll see that with Daniel Jones. Okay, now... Zach Rosenblatt from The Athletic covering your New York Jets. What's up, Zach?
What's up, Keith? How you doing, man?
Good, bro. I've been trying to, you know, bring you on as we kick off another NFL season. You're the man. I follow all your tweets. I've got post notifications on. I read your stuff on the app. I just think you got it, bro, especially covering the Jets.
Oh, thanks, man.
I got to go right to practice, right? So I saw earlier Michael Clemens was out there throwing hands. I ask about that first because we saw with the Giants and the Lions, they got fined $200,000 for fighting in these joint practices. So did it get to the point that we could potentially see some fines here?
That's a good question, honestly. I didn't even think about that today, so you're bringing a good point to my attention. Honestly, I wasn't watching the defense when that fight happened, so I didn't see specifics. I saw some descriptions of it. It sounded like there were some swings, but I don't think it escalated, like, necessarily in a huge way, but I don't know how strict they're taking. You know, the fight that I did see that was kind of interesting to me is we saw Terrace Marshall catch a touchdown over DJ Reed. Mm-hmm. As he's walking away, he tosses the ball at DJ Reed as he's on the ground. A bunch of guys start shoving each other. DJ Reed picks up the ball, runs to find Terrace Marshall, and throws the ball at him. So that was a little more unique. So I do wonder, I don't know. There's not as many videos of these fights online as the Giants one. I think the reporters happened to be watching when it happened. So I think there's more evidence of it all happening. So maybe that contributed to the fine. But yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I'm curious to see how strict the NFL is going to take this kind of thing.
Yeah, I think they had to make an example out of Malik Nabers, Kirby Joseph, because that went viral. But yeah, I did see the stuff with Terrence Marshall, and it made me think about this Jets team and this Jets defense and how pissed off they got to be and how locked in they got to be and how confident they got to be now in this second year. What I was saying earlier in the show, talking about when we're going to talk about the Jets, I've been saying this. I'm like, well, I wasn't saying that. I'm not sure what that was. You all right, Zach?
Yeah, I'm by a street, so there's like some loud motorcycle.
Okay. As long as you're not getting into any type of car accident, like if
No, you're good.
As long as you're not driving, you're good. You're in a safe place. Okay, but with Aaron Rodgers going out in four plays, like last season, you like it was a complete wash right away. You never saw him, but now I think they learned from their mistakes last year. Obviously, right? Tyrod Taylor is the backup. Obviously, they used their first round pick on Olufashinu, who's been great from what I'm reading. They have a whole new offensive line. They've made it a priority now, right? I remember last year around this time, they were in a joint practice with the Buccaneers, and Aaron Rodgers was very spirited about the protection and talking about it. And then when we talked about it on The Fan and people talked about it online, they're like, oh, it's the preseason. They'll work it out. So let's talk about Aaron Rodgers and the offensive line first. What can you see the difference from last year to this year is with this unit and Aaron Rodgers now after a year of developing relationships with his teammates and establishing rapport in the building? I think everything happens for a reason and they're stronger because of what they went through last year.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in terms of the offensive line, it was this time last year at the Panthers joint practice actually in Carolina where the offensive line was just absolutely getting destroyed. And then there was a scene on Hard Knocks where Robert Saleh is laying into them. And it was kind of like, I always say this, joint practices often are foretelling for the season. But I think this offensive line is on paper, like a legitimately could be a really, really good offensive line. You know, I'm sure you've talked plenty about this group, but you know, Tyron Smith, Oshinu as the backup, John Simpson, Joe Tippmann, Elijah Vera Tucker, Morgan Moses, like that's a solid, solid five, a few Pro Bowl caliber players in there. So if that group can stay healthy, which is a big if, like I do think that changes the tone. And I think you've seen that. You see the way they talk about this offensive line is just different. There's not as many excuses being made because there's not as many that need to get made. It's just getting these guys on the field together more often, which they still haven't that much because, you know, Morgan Moses and Tyron Smith are in and out of the lineup, ABP also. So if this group gets stay healthy, then that'll change everything for this offense. You give Aaron Rodgers some time, open up some holes for those two running backs. Like this offense has the potential to be a lot better. They were a little sloppy today, I will say, up until the last drive, which was 2 minutes ago where Aaron Rodgers thrived. Like, the offense was a little bit sloppy, but generally it's been pretty good throughout camp.
Yeah, you mentioned Tyron Smith. Unfortunately, as a young lad, I saw the Dallas Cowboys win Super Bowls, and I said, yeah, I'm going to root for them. Well, he switches places with Carl Lawson, who now the Dallas Cowboys have signed. When I look at this, you know, this preseason for Tyron Smith, I kept telling folks he's not going to practice. When he was with Dallas, he didn't practice. He's a Hall of Famer. Like, he doesn't need to get all of these drills and practice reps, but he was a full go. And I did just watch one Jets drive, and he said everything has been great since he's been here. If they can keep him healthy, like, he can protect Aaron Rodgers' blind side. And then the other guys that you added, like, if it's all about health. Vera Tucker's been hurt almost every single year. If Simpson and Morgan Moses, if these guys can stay healthy up front, they could have arguably the best offensive line in the division.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, to your Tyron point, like, Oshinu's been way better than I thought he would be, especially because I think it took some adjusting at the beginning of, like, OTAs and stuff like that. He's been really, really good. They're getting some reps at right tackle. So even if they hypothetically lost, you know, Tyron or Morgan Moses, which would be bad, but I do feel a little bit better about, you know, they have a first-round pick waiting in the wings, and you never know how rookies are going to look when the games happen and stuff like that. But, yeah, you just you just feel way better about this group and the feeling that this team has. If somebody like Tyron Smith, who, you know, by all accounts, watching him in practice when he's actually out there in team drills, like, he looks like the Tyron Smith of old. It's just a matter of getting him through the season, which, as you mentioned, like, the Cowboys did it by giving him rest days. I don't think he did a lot of teamwork during the season. They really just, like, spaced it out and let him rest and let him get his body right. And he's doing the work he has to do off the field to stay healthy and stay in shape. And so if you have that guy at left tackle, I really legitimately think the ceiling of this team is raised just by literally having, you know, an all-pro left tackle, which the New York Jets haven't had in a long, long time.
We're on the phone right now with my guy, Zach Rosenblatt, who covers the Jets for The Athletic. I've been going on and on about Braylon Allen, number zero. The kid is built like a Greek god. He's 20 years old. He literally is a kid in the NFL. Please share with us anything you've seen from him. Obviously, we all got to look in the Saturday game against the Commanders in the preseason. Preseason is whatever, but I just think it was such a smart move. And I've been vocal about how pissed off I am that Jerry Jones traded a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance, and in the fourth round, you can get a guy like Braylon Allen.
Legitimately, I'd buy all stock in Braylon Allen. Like, I've been as impressed with him as anybody in terms of, like, just being surprised. Like, I think he's been one of the breakout stars of camp. You know, sometimes you have to remember that what happens in training camp doesn't always portend what's going to happen this season. But he's just been highly, highly impressive. And you saw in the game, what he was able to do in that game gave me even more confidence that this kid is legit. Like, as you said, he's built kind of, not like the freak that Derrick Henry is, but he has that kind of size where he just looks bigger than everybody out there. He's faster than I expected. He brings more in terms of the passing game than I expected. And I think the biggest reason why you can believe he's going to be on the field as a rookie is he's pretty good in protection as a running back. And, you know, he's kind of what the Jets thought they were getting in Dalvin Cook last year, is what I've been saying. Like, a guy who can get those tough yards, who can catch the ball out of the backfield a little bit, and then can, you know, pick up some blitzes and spell Breece Hall when you need it. And so you have a guy on a rookie contract instead of, a guy that's aging and doesn't really have anything left. And I just am really, really high on Braylon Allen. And, you know, even just talking in terms of fantasy, like, if you're looking for a stash guy, I'd pick him at the end of the draft.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's going to spell Breece Hall. God forbid Breece Hall goes down like he did a couple years ago, then it's his show. Now, let's talk about Breece. I was talking about earlier how Breece took a picture with Tiki Barber at training camp a couple days ago, and his arm was huge. Like, Tiki being a running back in his era versus Breece, like, Breece, like, dwarfed him. And Breece is coming back now a year removed from the ACL injury. He's coming in now where everybody's like, yeah, this guy's one of the best backs in the league. How has he looked, and how has he handled having two rookies in the running back room? How has he looked in camp so far?
Well, I mean, Breece is the veteran of the room, which is kind of hilarious if you think about it. And, you know, Braylon Allen is 20 years old. He's very young. But, yeah, you know, I think it's almost at the point now where you have this flashy new thing in Braylon Allen. And so I think we're kind of taking Breece Hall for granted a little bit, where I think, you know, he was voted as, like, the number two running back in the league by that ESPN. So, like, he's going to have a really big year. I think he's going to be a legit bell cow. I think he's going to get the ball a lot. Even if Braylon Allen spells him occasionally, I think you legitimately are going to see Breece Hall, if he can stay healthy, you know, be among the league leaders in touches, if not right behind Christian McCaffrey. So I think he's looked the part. He looks like he's fully healthy. His explosion is back. His strength is even better. And I just think he's ready to take off. Like, he's going to be the focal point of this offense, both in the passing game and in the running game.
Good. Can't wait to see it. Like, again, saying they're better for what happened last year. This is not Nathaniel Hackett's first year calling this offense. He's fully aware of what he has in Breece Hall. And now, in a second year with Alan Lazard, I keep hearing good things about Alan Lazard coming out of camp. I think that he's got something to prove, a chip on his shoulder. He didn't come here to play with Zach Wilson. He came here to play with Aaron Rodgers. What has Alan Lazard looked like in his second Jets camp?
You know, with Lazard, it's funny. You know, another one of the Jets supporters, Brian Costello, often makes jokes about, like, the summer of Lazard is back on, or the summer of Lazard is on pause, because it's kind of like day-to-day. One day, there'll be a few-day stretches where Lazard's making plays, catching everything thrown to him. And then you have a day like today where a pass deflects off his hands and into a defender's hands. So I think you're still getting, like, the mix of the Lazard from last year and the Lazard with Rodgers. I think he's going to have to be a contributor this year, especially as Mike Williams gets eased back into things. You know, he's the top backup to Mike Williams. He's the guy the possession receiver, the guy who's going to help as a blocker. He's definitely looked better than he did last year, but I think he still has a lot to prove coming off of the season he had last year.
Yeah, and I know Mike Williams just got cleared, so we probably haven't seen too much of him. And we know what type of possession receiver he is, you know, jump ball guy, a you know, outside receiver. But Garrett Wilson, watching one Jets drive, seeing him versus Emmanuel Forbes, Garrett Wilson is just a freak of nature. He's not a big guy, but he's just a technician. He's fast. He gets open, and he doesn't drop passes. What do you think we can expect from him and Aaron Rodgers this year?
You know, it's funny. I hear myself, and I'm sounding like this guy is just raving about every Jets player, and everybody always usually accuses me of being negative. But I think Garrett Wilson is. I think he's going to, if Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy, and that's always going to be the big if of this offense, I think we're going to talk about Garrett as a top five to 10 receiver. Like, he's just dominated every rep. He's a guy that, you know, today, like, when Rodgers is having bad moments today where he's, you know, the Lazard play, he's throwing it behind Malachi Corley, he's throwing it behind this person. Every time he's targeting Garrett Wilson, it's either a catch or it's going to be a catch or it's a DPI. You know, Garrett, I think it was the Washington Commanders joint practice where he tells the receivers coach, "Let me loose." Like, give me the ball over and over and over again. I want the ball. And so he has the confidence. You know, he has the personality. He's faster. He's stronger. His route running's better. Like, I think him and Aaron Rodgers had a moment in the middle of camp where they were trying to figure out each other's chemistry again because, you know, Garrett, he's so talented and so athletic that he sometimes will improvise, you know, a route, or he'll see an availability to get open. Whereas Aaron Rodgers, the way he plays, like, he knows where everybody's going to be, and so he throws it to that space. So he, like, needs Garrett sometimes to be where he expects him. So I think they've been trying to find that balance. But I just think Garrett, you know, like, I couldn't be higher on him. I think he's, you know, arguably their most talented guy in this roster. Like, I think that's how good he is.
So they don't need to trade for Davante Adams. Here comes the segue. They did trade for Hassan Reddick, and what I've said is he hasn't stepped into the building. He's not with these guys. I'd trade him, but I know they're not going to do that. It's just an unfortunate thing because people can't wait to point at something and say, see, that's the Jets. This is typical Jets. But I just look at this as like, this is Hassan Reddick. This is more on him. This is his decision to hold out. And if it's a staring contest, he's going to lose. The Jets have his rights, and the Jets don't have to pay him. The Jets don't have to acquiesce. They don't have to do anything. They can just wait this out. And I don't think Hassan Reddick is going to say, all right, well, I'm just going to stay home and not play, because he doesn't want to miss his game checks, and he doesn't want to miss the opportunity to show he's worth the money he thinks he's worth.
You know, I honestly don't know how far he's willing to take him. From what I've heard, he is fully committed to, you know, holding out until they give him his money. I think he does not, based on, you know, I think both sides think they've either been lied to or there's been some miscommunication on, you know, the expectations for this contract situation. And so they're both kind of stuck in. And to your point, like, right now the Jets absolutely have the leverage. You know, he's getting fined every day. They feel confident in the guys they have. But the most interesting thing to me is going to be if and when he starts skipping games, you know, week one, week two happen. It's Will McDonald and Michael Clemens who are filling in for him. If they have really, really good games, then they can turn Hassan Reddick and be like, all right, we don't need you, so why are we going to pay you? Or it could go the opposite way. Like, they're not getting pass rush. The defense is struggling. And then Hassan Reddick will go to the Jets and be like, it looks like you need me. Maybe you pay me now. So I think the most fascinating thing is if he brings this into the regular season, which as of right now feels like is what's going to happen. Like, I think those first few games and how the defense looks is going to be fascinating for this whole discussion, because I think that's going to maybe drive one side to cave a little bit. I don't think the Jets are going to cave and pay him like he wants to be paid, like $25 million a year or whatever. But maybe they, you know, add incentives, restructure his deal, whatever it is that they're refusing to do, until he shows up, which he's not doing.
Yeah, and I think he's going to take a look at this team and all the talent and be like, actually, I want to be a part of that. You know, you mentioned Will McDonald and Michael Clemens. We all know about Jermaine Johnson. He's got one of the best sack celebrations, if not the best sack celebration in football. But there's a name flying under the radar a little bit, and I think he's going to have a big game going against his former team in week one. It's Javon Kinlaw. What have you seen from Javon Kinlaw as a new Jet on that defensive line this season?
I mean, I've seen him. Like, he's physically unlike maybe any defensive tackle I've ever covered. The guy's like 6'5". He just powers over everybody. He told us when we spoke to him at the podium a few weeks ago that he said his goal was to put on 35 pounds of muscle, and he claims he did that. I'm not sure I believe that part entirely, that he put on 35 pounds of muscle, but, you know, he looks good. Like, he's another guy that in his 49ers career, he was not able to stay healthy, and the last year he finally did. He started to see some of the flashes of the potential he had when they drafted in the first round. And, you know, Robert Saleh was there when he was drafted, as was Aaron Whitecotton, the defensive line coach. And so I think he has the talent to be like a really, really good guy next to Quinnen Williams. You know, they've shuffled through a lot of guys in there. They've all been pretty solid. Sheldon Rankins, Quentin Jefferson were the last two. And I think Javon Kinlaw has the potential. He just has to stay healthy, keep his head on straight, all that stuff. And I think he could be a really, you know, solid contributor and rotational guy next to Quinnen.
Zach, you're the man. I took up 20 minutes of your time. I appreciate you. I'm going to let you go now.
I always love chatting with you, Keith. Thanks, man.
Zach Rosenblatt, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best. He covers the Jets for The Athletic. You should follow him at ZBlatt or at Zach Blatt on Twitter, on X, whatever you want to call it. If you're a Jets fan, you should be locked into all of his stuff. Great writing, great reporting, and he just plays it straight down the middle. I mean, he was the guy that put out that article with Diana Russini basically exposing things that were going on in the building at the end of the last year. So what? He's right back at it, covering the team, doing what he's supposed to do. And like he said, he's like, I sound like a guy that's just, you know, singing the praises of all these players, but it's real. There's a buzz coming out about all the talent on the Jets roster. When you're seeing Pro Football Focus, ESPN, Bleacher Report, even I did a stream on Bleacher Report about the top 10 rosters going into this NFL season. Everybody's putting the Jets roster on that top 10, with or without Hassan Reddick. You know what I'm saying? So I think there's some real opportunity there with this team. Rob Saleh, lock in. I think he's locked in. He's not worried about, you know, distractions or trying to mitigate things. And I really think the second year with Nathaniel Hackett, most people in sports in New York City are better in their second year. And now if you keep Aaron Rodgers healthy, he's got a chip on his shoulder with something to prove. Garrett Wilson, all of these guys got something to prove. They're looking to compete. Why can't they beat the 49ers in week one and start off 5-0?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw in third down. Up the middle, touchdown Bavaro. Mark Bavaro goes to one knee. Genuflex in prayer as a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fan.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
This is a song for my haters, yeah. Right back at it on The Fan, you know that. KM to AM. We don't get a lot of these, but when the Yankees are off, I get 5 hours to rock. Call me up at 888-808-1019. I want to take this call because this guy waited through the whole interview, and then after this call, we'll kind of reshuffle the deck. And for people that are just joining us now, I'll tell you what we've been talking about. We're on the second half of my five-hour show. Jason is in Edison. You got it, Jason. Your time.
Yep. Thanks, Keith. Thanks for allowing me to be on your show in the first place.
Thanks for holding.
Don't mention it. I'd like to talk about. Honestly, I'm pretty shocked with Malik Nabers getting into a fight. He's someone that I really trusted going into this year, and I felt like he could be a captain, even though he's younger, something that could maybe help this team make a playoff push.
Yeah.
So when I heard that he gets into a fight, it just made me really bad.
One, the Giants don't need to have so many captains this year. Last year, they named 10 captains, and I knew that was a problem. Too many Chiefs, not enough Indians. And then also with Malik Nabers, he's a dog, right? They're running with the whole dog thing. He's a dog. That's all you hear about him. He's a dog. Well, they got to put that dog on a leash. When he got into that fight, he got upset because the play got broken up. And after the play, he went after a guy. He can't do that in the game. That can get you ejected. That can get you suspended. So better that it happens now than later. But if this becomes a pattern, he's going to turn into Odell. You don't want to see another Odell situation where Odell was making the game all about him and Josh Norman.
Yeah. I get that. I'd like to reiterate the thing about Odell. I remember when I was watching him play, he was like everything. Like, I remember watching him play. He was like the star of the Giants. I used to look at him and see like, wow, this guy's actually really good. But then I'd see like after the touchdowns, all these things that he used to do with all the other players, like to rub it in and get all these unsportsmanlike conduct calls. And it really changed my mind about him.
Yeah, you know what? Because he's a freak athlete. And after that one-handed catch, I was there that night. It was Sunday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys. After that catch, man, he blew up faster than anybody we've seen in the NFL at the time off of one catch. But you know what was the facts and the truth about Odell Beckham Jr.? No one could guard him one-on-one. He could take a slant to the house. He was electric. Like, he was a ridiculous player. And the thing is, guys have to be like that and then carry themselves the right way, and it's hard to do. Guys get in that end zone, especially receivers, they want to dance. They want to taunt. They want to mock other guys. They want to do things for social media. He had the whole thing with the, you know, he got mad. He attacked the kicking net, and the kicking net hit him. So then he played into that and proposed to the kicking net like he got into an argument. It was just so stupid. He did all these extra things, man. Just play the game. Just play football and let your play speak for you.
Yeah, I remember that. So I'd also like to talk about the Jets slightly. I'm not a Jets fan, but when I heard this offensive coordinator, like all these, when he came on,
Nathaniel
I heard
Hackett?
All of that. Yeah, the person who, all of him. Yeah, the Jets are actually kind of stacked. If they can put something together this year, they're actual contenders. Like, they have so many weapons that Aaron Rodgers can use this year. It's really cool. And I wish the Giants were in this type of position where they have an offensive line to guard the quarterback and give him time to do something.
Well, we'll see. I think that they made some additions with John Runyon and Illuminor and Van Roten. Like
Brian Burns.
Brian Burns on the defensive line. But on the offensive line, I think they have a better offensive line unit that's going to protect Daniel Jones. Jason, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you guys. You young guys are the best. 888-808-1019. Let's reset here. So now we started talking a little bit about the Giants with Jason, and the Jason from Tenafly that called before I had Zach Rosenblatt on also asked me what did I think about Daniel Jones this year. I think that Daniel Jones with the beard is a different guy. I think Daniel Jones is a guy that has had challenge after challenge after challenge, different head coach, different offensive coordinator, no offensive line, Saquon being hurt. He had to throw the ball to Kenny Golladay. Kenny Golladay was a waste of time. He had David Sills and Richie James as his targets. You know what I'm saying? Like, this guy has overcome that. He had to be the next Eli Manning. Nobody can be the next Eli Manning. I always tell you guys a story about when he came to Yankee Stadium and they put him on the big screen with his girl, and the Yankee fans that were Giants fans booed him. Probably some Jets fans in there as well. Like, he just never got any love from the day that he was drafted number 6 overall, and all these viral videos come out of kids losing their mind and Joe Budden looking disgusted like, wait, who? We drafted this quarterback out of Duke? What? And here he still is. And there's a lot of people that love to say, we know what Daniel Jones is. We know what Daniel Jones is. Well, I think this is the last opportunity to actually see what Daniel Jones can be. Like I said, again, it's his third year in the offense. It's his third year in this system. Dable's going to be calling the plays. Okay. I got a ton of respect for his offensive mind. Now he's got the weapons. Now he's got a better offensive line. Now it's not all about Saquon and handing Saquon the ball 30 times a game. It's on Daniel Jones to drop back, read the defense, and deliver the pill. And he can't just run away. He can't just check one, check two, like my first read, second read, nothing's there, I'm out. Because he's got to keep himself healthy. Or you're going to be looking at Tommy DeVito or Drew Lock. And if anybody is telling you that Tommy DeVito should be the week one starter for the Giants, I don't know where they got that from. It doesn't make any sense with what you're paying Daniel Jones and what Daniel Jones is. Just the size of the guy, pause, the experience of the guy, the way he throws the ball. My immediate thought when I heard that on the fan, Tommy DeVito after one preseason game should be the week one starter for the Giants. It's preseason. He's playing against bums and backups. Those guys in that first preseason game, if they were doing Hard Knocks, bum, ba-na-num, those guys are cut by the third episode. We can't put so much stock into that. You got to know what you're looking at. Tommy DeVito is a great guy. I saw the mic'd up that the Giants put out. The way that he talks to his teammates, you could tell he's down with everybody. Everybody likes him. He's cool like that. He's TD, Tommy Cutlets. But, like, let's not get it confused. He was undrafted. The first game we saw him in, they didn't even want him to throw a pass against the Jets defense. Daniel Jones is probably rooting for him and helping him, but he is nowhere near the NFL quarterback that Daniel Jones is. And for all the hype that Malik Nabers is getting, I hear on The Fan, Malik Nabers is going to be the best Giants receiver of all time. Okay, write that down. I hear that Malik Nabers is already better than Garrett Wilson. He hasn't taken an NFL snap in the regular season. Okay, let me jot that down. I also hear that Malik Nabers is going to be better than 95% of the wide receivers he's on the field with this year. And I'm like, this is preposterous. What are we talking about? The first game, he's going up against Justin Jefferson. The second game, Terry McLaurin is out there. You know, I could keep going. Hopefully CeeDee Lamb comes back. But it's like we're just coming up with anything off of iPhone videos from practice. Not the game. We're talking about practice? Who is throwing him the ball in practice? All those highlights? All those, oh, well, they targeted him 17 times and he caught 17 or 16 out of 17 passes. That's Daniel Jones throwing him the ball. That's who you want throwing him the ball in week one. 888-808-1019. So there's my little bit for the Giants for right now. And with the Jets, you just heard, or maybe you didn't heard, I had Zach Rosenblatt on. We talked about everything from the Giants offensive line to this second year with Aaron Rodgers, Nathaniel Hackett, Braylon Allen as RB2 behind Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson out to prove that he's one of the best receivers in the NFL. When he actually has a good quarterback, you're going to see him consistently light it up. Allen Lazard needs to have a bounce back year. Mike Williams exists. That defense, for the last 2 years, we've been talking about how elite the Jets defense is. That's not going to change. That's not going to change. With or without Hassan Reddick, they're going to dominate. They did add Javon Kinlaw. Still do have Sauce Gardner. Haven't said his name yet. The Jets are going to be right there. If they win that first game against the Niners, I think they're off to the races. 888-808-1019. Now, talking about the Mets, you know, I just sit here all night Googling and looking at Twitter and trying to, you know, refresh and find new things coming up. Breaking news. We'll do a little look around, you know, Major League Baseball and who played today. But the Mets played today, a 3 hour and 45 minute game that started at 1:10. And when I go and I search Mets on Google and I click on news, all over Google and news, the tab is Hawk to a girl throws out first pitch at Mets game. The Bergen Record covered it. Fox News covered it. The Daily Mail covered it. The New York Post covered it. Outlook, like everyone. Not just me, right? Because when I opened up the show tonight, I told you guys, I heard everyone in sports, everyone in media talking about this girl, and I refused to. I didn't feel like she deserved my show. I didn't feel like she deserved this platform. She has nothing to do with anything that I'm talking about. It's inappropriate how she got her fame. I didn't find a way to talk about her. I didn't want to find a way to talk about her. It came to me today as I'm listening to Howie Rose on 880 call the Mets game, and I look. And I see SNY Mets puts out this video. I'm like, what? What? Right here. My Mets Bible right in front of me. A love letter to New York Mets fandom by our very own Evan Roberts. Evan Roberts can't get invited to throw out a first pitch. I digress. You get what you ask for. Nobody asked for this. So what happens in Citi Field after this young lady blesses that mound with a half a pitch and her best friend won today? Her best friend probably got to go to the Clover Club, got to be on the field. And she's a nobody for sure. This girl's a nobody, Hawk Tua girl. At least she's got a name and has made some money. Her friend is nobody. But man, they had a blast today. They saw the Hawk Tua Mets go up 5-0. And then it was all downhill from there. 888-808-1019. They seen a grand slam. They seen Jose Quintana give up walks, give up hits. They seen Reed Garrett come back, give it up. He's cooked. Mason Miller, got to watch him. And then Pete Alonso, you need Polar Bear Pete, MVP, to come through. Nope, not going to happen. Oh, my God.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.